Touching on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, second hour, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right back to the front lines of history in the making. There's a very important issue that surfaced right now. I'll just lay it out for you, give you the background, tell you what I think. Who will Robin Voss, the illegitimate gerrymandered speaker of the gerrymandered legislature, appoint to the Wisconsin Election Commission to take the place of Dean Knutson? Now, what does that mean? A lot of people listening to the show follow the news. Not everybody does. Let me burrow down. The Wisconsin Election Commission was put in by a Republican legislature, and it was intended to have three Republicans and three Democrats. And each are appointed by various people in their respective parties. And they're supposed to supervise and manage the elections around the state. They replaced a prior commission that had basically retired judges who were independent, and they were excellent. And the Republicans didn't like that, didn't like their decision, so they figured, well, if it's 3-3, then that will be a check on things. Well, it wasn't. Most of their decisions are 6-0. A lot of this stuff is very obvious. You want fair elections. You do this, you do that, and so forth. Well, when Trump lost, the Republican Party started to lie about the election, saying that there was somehow rigging, fraud, corruption, that sort of thing, claiming that Wisconsin Election Commission was the reason. The issue that frosted them the most was that in assisted living facilities, old age homes for the old folks, especially down the Racine-Kenosha area, the Wisconsin Election Commission mailed ballots to the old folks, the seniors, rather than send people in to hand it to them personally. Because of COVID, this is before vaccines, they weren't permitted in. You weren't permitted in to see your husband or wife or your kids, or they weren't permitted in to see you if you had COVID. Period, end of story. For that, the Republicans said, well, that was rigging, lying about it, and we should have them all charged with felonies. The sheriff in Racine stuck his nose into it, saying that they should be charged with felonies, all except the guy named Bob Spindell, because Bob Spindell had voted to do it, like the rest of them, and it was upheld by the courts. But then he had remorse, and he became a fraudulent elector for Trump. So that was somehow his saving grace. This is sick. This party is a sick party. Law enforcement should keep quiet, enforce the law, and keep their mouths shut, and not try to attack their civilian superiors. Period. That's it. You know what would happen in the Army or in the Navy? A bunch of enlisted guys said, we think the general, the admiral, should be prosecuted. They'd be in the brig immediately. And that's exactly what should happen. Now, one of the Republicans, a guy named Dean Knutson. Now, Dean Knutson is a Republican, but he's a decent guy. And he finally came out and said, look, there was not fraud. The fact is that Trump lost. And frankly, Ron Johnson has said that privately in fundraisers. Paul Ryan has said it. Obviously, people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger have said it. It's true. Trump lost because he was bad. He did a bad job in the eyes of the electorate. He certainly did a bad job in the campaign. Well, Dean Knutson has had enough, and he said, I resign. Well, the problem with that is, remember what I told you at the very beginning of this segment, the chairmanship is every 2 years. It's supposed to rotate between Democrats and Republicans. And right now, the chair is Ann Jacobs, a Democrat. So right now, it should go Republican. And the election was supposed to have taken place. But because Knudsen is resigning, the only other eligible Republican is Bob Spindell, who's a fraudulent elector. Who on this show, I have said that Josh Call and Merrick Garland should prosecute him for falsely telling the Senate that he was a properly elected elector. You don't want him running. You can't have him running the Wisconsin Election Commission. Well, because Dean Knudsen is stepping down, I wish he weren't. I wish he'd stay, and then they'd make him the chairman, but he's stepping down. Voss gets to replace him. And some people said he's going to replace him with Gableman. Gableman? Gableman, the $676,000 isn't enough from our tax dollars. He's got to get all 4 feet in the snout in the public trough some more. Give me a break. It can't be Gableman. Seriously, one person who's said she's interested is Kathy Bernier of Chippewa area, Chippewa Falls area. She's very good. She was a clerk up there, and so she ran elections. She's a Republican legislator who's not running for re-election. But she pushed back on all this stupidity and said, there's nothing wrong with these elections. I know these people. They're honest as the day is long. She'd be great. I don't think Voss has the guts to do it. But now he's claiming, he says, well, I'm leaning towards somebody with a, quote, legal background, end quote. What that says to me is that he may try, he's caught between a rock and a hard place. The Trump base is out to get him. They booed him at the convention. They called him a rhino. He wants to hang on to power. The other legislators won't elect him speaker again, the Republicans, the gerrymandered Republicans, if they think that the nuts in their base will roast them for it. So he's trying to be quite sly. I suspect what he's looking at is some lawyer who knows election law in one of the law firms, but a Republican. As long as he's an honest individual and he's not in there to commit fraud and cause mischief, that's one way for Voss to shrug and throw up his hand and say, hey, I put in an expert. So I don't know, but I'll tell you what, and I'm hesitant to say it because my vote will be the kiss of death for Voss. But Kathy Bernier, you know, is an elected Republican legislator. You know that. And she was a clerk. She ran elections. She's an expert. She's not going to do anything to, quote, help the Democrats, end quote. But she stands by the honesty of election poll workers in Wisconsin. Let me ask you something. Everybody out there votes. You go in there. Do you have suspicions about the people who are checking you in? Are you kidding me? You know who they are. They're good people. They're nice people. They're very honest. And the question is, will Voss be able to sneak out of this predicament and put somebody in who would be the chairman who would be fair and apply the law? This is a very, very significant turning point in our state's history. It's extremely important. If he puts in a Gableman type, or some fraud, you'll suddenly see fraud coming to our elections, and that can't be permitted to happen. We'll go to the line. Mark of the Sack, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, I'm still kind of processing what happened down in Texas. That, and they need to get, and why can't they? It would be constitutional to limit magazine size. I mean, for goodness sakes, they've limited magazine size for hunting a waterfowl for decades and decades, 3 shots, you know, total, you know, that, you know, 2-shot plug in, you know, a magazine plug limited, you know, 2 shots rounds in the magazine. Most of the 22s back in the day had a 10 round magazine in them, which came stock, that these. And in hunting, I mean, that for hunting purposes, you don't need, I don't want some nitwit out in the field blazing away with 30 rounds, you know, rattling off 30 rounds out because you can't hit the running deer. In fact, back when I started hunting, semi-automatics were looked on with some disdain for hunting purposes, as far as for deer hunting. that, and those were limited to like a four-round magazine. I mean that, which came with it with the weapon. That none of this, you know, 15-round magazine stuff. That 30-round magazine stuff. That would be a long ways to go. And as you pointed out, these weapons were not designed for civilian use. They're designed for military use. I mean that you read some of the new ammunition that's coming out that is available now to hunters, and those things were designed for tactical military use for special forces type operations. But now they've got all these hunters convinced that, oh, we need to have this for our hunting purposes. We need to have this for our hunting purposes. Well, this is just nonsense. I saw some nitwit say, well, I need this for hog hunting. I need these rounds in the magazine in case the herd of hogs attacks me. The herd, once you fire a shot, most of those hogs are going to be hauling ass the other direction from you rather than, you know, circling in for an attack. I mean, this is just utter nonsense that civilians need these kind of things to protect themselves. If you need something to protect yourself in your home, that there's nothing wrong with the old standard shotgun.
You're right, Mark. We got to go to a break. That's an excellent and good history, and you obviously are knowledgeable. I think you make a lot of sense. I really appreciate your calling. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, let's go to Ukraine. The Russian savages are continuing to commit war crimes and genocide. And their tactics right now seem to be concentrate only on the Donbass region, the eastern Ukraine. Just like before that they did in Crimea, which had been part of Ukraine and still is. And they're simply going through the Donbass with Russian troops and local sympathizers and murdering civilians, bombing buildings. We saw that in Mariupol, they bombed almost the entire town. Well, they are doing this in other cities as well. And Zelensky, President Zelensky, once again has urged the West to give them stronger weapons. He needs multiple missile rocket launchers with guided missiles. He needs shore-to-ship missiles to take out the Russian fleet or send it another 20 miles out into the Black Sea. There's a genocide going on. I'll tell you what. I think Europe has lost its soul. For them to stand there and say, well, if you did it in a NATO country, we'd stop you. But if you want to torture a teenage girl in Ukraine, 10 miles from the Polish border, I guess that's okay. We'll just get you with some sanctions. That's not human. The Russian leadership are animals. They're savages. It is a Nazi culture. Do I say that lightly? No, I don't say that lightly. Remember that Stalin teamed up with Hitler at the beginning of the Second World War. They entered into a non-aggression pact, and they both attacked Poland. They agreed to divvy up Poland and Eastern Europe. For the Russians to say they're doing this to stop Nazis, Russians are Nazis. They are genocidal sadists. There's a development with Putin. There are people who are now saying that he is terminally ill. I'm a little suspicious of this. I don't trust Putin, and I don't trust the KGB or the FSB, which is the new KGB with different initials. One report said that Putin has 3 years to live. Well, come on. I mean, I've heard of people saying you got a month to live, you got a 6 month, a year. Who says you got 3 years to live? They said his eyesight's failing. Well, I'll tell you what. And this, before that, they said his thyroid was failing and he had doctors following him. He's a sickly-looking, nasty-looking thing. There's no question. He's a disease-carrying rat. But is he terminally ill? I don't know. I hope he is. I hope he is. He's an evil man, a Hitler type, kind of a junior varsity type Hitler. Should be taken out. It is true there is intelligence that the rest of the rabble in the Russian leadership, in the Kremlin, are talking about who his successor would be, and they've mentioned two people. Neither of them's any good. One is the mayor of Moscow, Sergei Sobyanin. The other one is the former president, Dmitry Medvedev. And a lot of people thought, well, Dmitry Medvedev is some sort of a moderate. But lately, he's one of the clowns that's been threatening nuclear weapons. He's lying, of course. I mean, he's doing it to posture. You don't want him as president again. And I know nothing about Sergei Sobyanin, mayor of Moscow, except that to be mayor of Moscow, you have to be bad news, a thief, a murderer, and a liar. Those are the three main credentials to be mayor of Moscow. I've been to Moscow, enjoyed it. Been to St. Petersburg back in 1997. The invitation of our Justice Department, who was sending over a delegation to give talks to the Rusky prosecutors, lawyers, public officials on our legal system. I like the people very much, but they live in a Nazi culture. And ever since the first czar, about 1,000 years ago, they have been essentially slaves. Many of them were serfs until the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. Then when they bumped off the Romanov family, the last czar and the czarina, and six kids, it's pretty cold. They just went in and flat out killed them. Then they turned communist, and then they had Stalin killing 20 million people. And their culture brings nothing but slavery, sadism, fraud, and theft. And they say they want to spread their culture. They want to defend their culture. They have no culture. The last constructive part of their culture was in the 19th century, with Tchaikovsky and Dostoevsky and Pushkin and the rest. Some good stuff, but not worth putting up with all of this. And then in the 20th century, they murdered their intellectuals. So what more can we be doing? Joe Biden, get Zelensky what he needs. Get him multiple rocket launchers with guided missiles. Get him shorter-ship missiles. Get him planes. Get him planes. They should be bombing Russian positions and killing as many of them as they can. The other thing, you know, that really frosts me, we have more than 40 Ruskies playing in the National Hockey League. Throw them out. Many of them are only here on visas and that kind of thing. Maybe green card. Get them out of here. We don't want any Ruskies. Some clown comes in and says, I'm a conductor. I am a speed skater. I am a gymnast. I play the cello. Get out of here. You can go play it in Moscow. We don't want you. We don't want any Ruskies here. You have a Nazi culture. If there's an occasional Rusky who is standing up to his government like Navalny, we praise you and we do want you. But we do not want Nazi culture. We don't want Nazi culture. Putin cannot be construed as having won anything in this thing, because he'll continue to enslave his own country and he'll continue to enslave other countries nearby. Once a commie, always a commie. Putin was a colonel in the KGB. He has the same tactics. Now he's a mafia. He's an organized crime guy. That's all he is, organized crime. That's all he is. And so we don't want Sergei Sobyanin or Dmitry Medvedev. If the guy's dying, okay, 3 years is a long time. We can't wait around for that. So he's got to take care of business a lot sooner than that. But the message of this segment is Joe Biden, get Zelensky the weapons. Europe is chicken. They'll stand by and watch that country get dismembered, Ukraine. Listen, Macron of France and Scholz of Germany the other day had a phone call with Putin begging him to get out of Ukraine. Are you kidding me? Think of a little history. What are the two countries that invaded Russia? France under Napoleon, the beginning of the 19th century, and Russia under Hitler. It was invaded by Hitler with the German, the Nazis, in the 1940s. And you're begging him? Bill, my friend, thanks for calling. We have a little time before the break. What's on your mind today, Bill, of Economo?
Matt, I've got a lot to say this morning. I'll try and condense it. After the shooting, here's the deal. Assault weapons ban has to happen. I am sick and tired of the minority controlling the majority. The majority of Americans agree we need an assault weapons ban. We need more even after that. I'm going to push hard. I'm very involved in guns. I'm very connected with gun people. I'm meeting with some gun people. They have to see the light. They protect kids, not guns. When I look in the eyes of my granddaughters, I have no, and grandsons, I have no trouble banning assault weapons and making concealed carry people more responsible. They have no rights if they don't exercise responsibility. So moving forward, this should be a no-brainer. Going into the midterms, we could easily win hands down. Kids first, not guns. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for that, Bill. That's very, very, very sage stuff. And for everybody out there, you know, Bill is a gun owner. Bill's a hunter. And he's speaking from deep experience. And then that's exactly right. I mean, an AR-15, an AK-47, if you hunt deer with an AR-15, there's going to be nothing left but the hooves. Believe me, nothing left but the hooves. Okay, we're going to a break. Bill, thanks a lot. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Very disturbing phenomenon, and give this a lot of thought. There is a lawyer named Cleta Mitchell. Now, Cleta Mitchell is bad news. She had been a partner in a Milwaukee law firm, believe it or not, until the law firm released her with what she'd done with Trump. She was one of Trump's lawyers and supporters, one of the architects of Trump's fraudulent attempt to overturn the 2020 elections, claimed that it had been, quote, stolen, end quote. Cleta Mitchell, bad news. I thought she'd sort of slithered off into the darkness. Well, it turns out that that's not the case. She is currently working on recruiting conspiracy-minded poll workers and watchers for future elections. For future elections. She was apparently on the phone call to Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, when Donald Trump told him to, quote, find 11,780 votes, and implying that he could be criminally prosecuted if he didn't, which is really an invitation to forge 11,780 votes, or else throw out 11,780 Democratic votes. That in itself was a felony on the part of Trump, extortion, threatening Raffensperger to commit a criminal act or face criminal prosecution. Anyway, Cleta Mitchell is a part of the Trump circle that architected the 2020 attempt to subvert the peaceful transfer of power and keep Trump in office. And now she is reportedly working on recruiting conspiracy-minded poll workers and poll watchers for future elections. Things are happening right under our nose. And I am alerting you to this and monitor this. Remember that fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. The fog creeps in on little cat's feet. It's a famous poem, famous line, the fog creeps in on little cat's feet. But fascism does creep in on little cat's feet. It doesn't just appear at your door one day as a soldier with medals on his chest and a gun. It's one little fraudulent effort at a time to subvert democracy. One little fraudulent effort at a time. It's what happened in Germany in the 1930s after Hitler came to power and he dissolved the Reichstag. You know, he said, I want peace. I'll just have a firm hand. I'll only serve for 4 years and I'll turn it back over to the Reichstag. And then he started to kill opponents. Putin, the same thing. They had restored some kind of democracy under Boris Yeltsin in the 1990s. Putin came in, just give it to me. I'll take care of things. But in his case, he bombed some apartment buildings in Moscow and said it was Chechenians. So we'll take care of them, and then I'll turn the government back over to you, and now what you have is what you have. a genocidal sadist. Hitler was a genocidal sadist. But it's not a genocidal sadist that's going to appear at your door. It's going to be something on little cat's feet. And one way to do it is to flood the polls with people that you're not used to seeing. You're used to seeing usually older folks who sort of greet you, and they're quite pleased to be there at the polls. They make a few bucks. They're there for the day. They make you show your driver's license. Once there was, mandatory voter ID, I've known these people for 40 years, and they say, Matt, I got to see your driver's license. They're very honest. Then they give you your ballot with a sleeve, and you go over to the tray table, and you fill it out and feed it in. And they give you a little sticker that says, I voted. I put it on my jacket. And I look forward to that a couple of times a year. Certainly all the bit. I vote in every election, even February primaries, even special elections. But that could change. You could walk in there and see some sort of gimlet-eyed zealot who can do anything in a whole range of possible activity, one of them being slowing things up, harassing people, raising absolutely meritless objections to people voting. You do have same-day registration at the polls, but that can be subverted by long lines or people having to step away, that kind of thing. In Texas, it's gotten to the point where they have passed criminal laws that make it a felony for poll workers, and these are frequently older people who are basically volunteers just making, $100 a day or something to do it, and go to jail. For instance, if they, quote, obstruct the view of poll watchers, of the voters. What does that mean? Well, they permit partisan poll watchers down in Texas who stand there hovering and glowering at people. And these old ladies that administer the polls walk back and forth, getting ballots and all that. If they happen to pass in the line of sight between a Republican zealous poll watcher and a voter, they could be prosecuted for a felony. Now, will they be? Maybe not. Will be warned and threatened and demoralized? Absolutely. And in some minority areas, will they prosecute one or two for blocking the line of sight just as a deterrent? And the answer is yes. There's one individual down there facing a prosecution, African-American person, who voted in the wrong precinct based on advice, incorrect advice they got from someone. Because what they do in some of these states, especially minority areas, is shift the precincts around a lot. That's even happened on the east side of Milwaukee where I live. One time I've been voting at a place called St. Mark's Church, just off of Downer Avenue. One day I find out, no, it's going to be in Lake Park in a structure in the basement. And then the next time it went back, I don't know, that's fine. But what if you did that deliberately all the time in minority areas, say in Texas, and if someone in and voted in the wrong one, made it a crime? What if there's another one where somebody had committed a crime, a burglary in the 1990s, and had 20 years of probation afterwards? Their probation ended in June. They mistake of a certain year, so let's say 2020. They mistakenly thought that it ended in April. And so they voted in an April election 2 months before it actually expired. Now, remember, they had done nothing wrong the whole time. They were exemplary people on parole, they're back in jail. They're back in jail. The Republican Party is trying to criminalize voting any way they can. And, you know, you might say, well, courts aren't going to put up with that. Well, let me tell you something. There are only so many courts. They can't take every case or oversee every case. The U.S. Supreme Court, bad as it is, a Republican political court really still only takes a couple of hundred cases a year for full decision out of the whole country. Yes, they have a shadow docket where in secret they meet and don't give their reasoning and do terrible things. But even then, they can't do that to too many cases. There's a lot of injustices that occur that are never corrected in the judiciary. Never collected in the judiciary. So when Cleta Mitchell and these characters in the Republican Party are recruiting poll workers and poll watchers who are similarly conspiracy-minded, that is a total change, at least in Wisconsin, from what we're used to. You're not used to Gablemans sitting there and many Gablemans glowering at you, and you wonder who's actually counting these votes. Who's going to drive them downtown to the clerk's office? Who's going to do that? There was a case many years ago in Waukesha County where a Republican clerk had ended up, she brought him home to her basement, in her home. If you start to diminish confidence in the elections, that is what the Republicans want. They want to diminish confidence in elections. That's the first step in the assault on the democracy, because once that happens, people on the left or the right, Democratic, Republican, moderate, independent, whatever, if they don't trust the election, you sacrifice your democracy. We have to have trust. And that is why when you have people like Ron Johnson and Voss and Scott Walker and the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, and the others attacking the veracity of the last election, this time around it's not going to change the result. But going forward, it's a cancer that eats away at the flesh of democracy. And that's what they're doing. Keep a very sharp eye in your community and make sure that Cleta Mitchell and people of her ilk are not suddenly harassing or in any respect trying to replace poll workers or poll watchers with conspiracy-minded people. If that happens, that has to be given to the attention of the Attorney General. There has to be a legal process about it. We've got to keep Wisconsin honest. Texas is not honest. Florida is not honest in their voting systems. We have got to keep Wisconsin honest. And eternal vigilance is the price of safety. Eternal vigilance is the price of democracy. You can never let your guard down with these people. You can never let your guard down. Photo break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Director, our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, hey, Dick?
Well, man, over the weekend, a friend and I were talking about the situation in Ukraine, and he was told me that he thought if something would break where Putin just either tipped over or somebody took him out, that would be that. And I agree with him. I think that it's so unpopular in Russia, even amongst people around him, but they're scared of him. But I said, you know, that's only the beginning. Because he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I agree that the war itself would end, but, okay, war crimes need to be prosecuted. And look how long that took after World War II to go through and do all of that. And the rebuilding of the country, it's just, I guess what I'm saying, such a sad situation that if it ended right now today, it really wouldn't end for way past my lifetime. Because all these people need to be prosecuted, in my mind. And you had people 50, 60 years after World War II they were finding. So this is far from over, even if it ends today or tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dick. Yeah, we hit it a little bit earlier, but there are several rumors about Putin. First of all, I think that he has to be taken out. And there's been some rumor that he's terminally ill, but there are conflicting reports on how many more years he has to live. And there are conflicting reports on whether what it is it thyroid? Is it a blood cancer? Is it his eyes or whatever? I don't trust any of that. I don't know if it's meant to engender sympathy or whether some adversary of Putin is trying to spread it to set up a coup or what it is. They are talking about two potential replacements. One is Dmitry Medvedev, former president, who everybody thought was moderate. But, you know, he's a guy that's been threatening nuclear weapons. He's sort of a punk. I don't really want him. The other one is the mayor of Moscow. I don't know much about the mayor of Moscow, except that to become mayor of Moscow, you obviously have to be a thief and a murderer yourself. So there's really no good solution to it. But I agree with you that he has to be taken out. It would be best if he were taken out by his own kind. You know, war crimes trials are great when you absolutely rule the world after the war and you can take your sweet time, like with the Nazis and the Japanese. We held them. Nobody could do anything about it. They couldn't attack us. We were the king of the hill. We were the 800-pound gorilla. And we executed some of them, and some of them we sent to prison for life. That's all well and good, but we captured them. And we captured them because we had beaten them. You're never going to capture Putin. There'll be all sorts of motions. We don't have time. He's a genocidal sadist, a pervert. You know, during the Second World War, we would have killed Hitler if we could have. We're not going to wait to take him to trial. And this guy is the same way. But number two, we must understand what's happening. The Russians are starting to consolidate in the Donbass, which is eastern Ukraine. They've already consolidated Crimea. They're doing it, gobbling up a little bit at a time, like the Nazis. And then they'll sit there like a malignant tumor, just waiting, and then eventually try to get some more. They have got to pay a terrible price, and we've got to do it without nuclear war. One way is this, and I'll say it now, Joe Biden, you've been magnificent in putting together a coalition against Putin economically. You've been magnificent in getting some arms to them. Get them more. Get them multi-missile rocket launchers with guided missiles on them, cruise missiles. Get them shore-to-ship missiles. Either take out their ships or send the rescue ships 50 miles out into the Black Sea. And then directionally, with artillery, bomb all Russian positions and kill as many Russians as you can. And in addition, make it clear we don't want Russians in this country. If there are people like Navalny who are principled opposition leaders to Putin, great. But we have over 40 NHL hockey players. Why are they permitted to stay here? Why are, you know, they can call themselves speed skaters, gymnasts, conductors, cello players, I don't care what they call them. Get out. We don't want you. We're not going to have a Nazi culture in this country. When I say Nazi culture, remember that the Ruskies under Stalin teamed up with Hitler at the beginning of the Second World War to attack Poland and Eastern Europe. They were aligned with Hitler against us. Do you understand that? And the only reason they switched is because Hitler then betrayed that alliance and attacked Stalin's Russia. And then Stalin came crawling, oh, now we're on your side. They cannot be trusted. They couldn't be trusted back then. They can't be trusted now. That's culture. They say we want to protect our culture and spread it. It's a culture of disease and death, of genocide and war crimes, of slavery. It's a slave culture. The fact that they produce some good composers and good novelists in the 19th century, we're very glad. Unfortunately, after communism in the 20th century, they've killed their intellectuals. Their literature in the 20th century is how bad the gulag was. All right, that's interesting, but yawn, yawn. Now they're putting Ukrainians into the gulag. They're putting priests and nuns into the gulag. We do not want the Russians. They are savages, not the, every of the individual people by any means. Their leaders are savages. And that's got to be understood. And yes, they have nuclear weapons, but their entire defense system is a joke because Putin and the oligarchs steal it. Steal it. We need the equivalent of a Voice of America, somebody in perfect Russian broadcasting their lines night and day. Why do you think your arms don't work, your vehicles break down, and you were given medical supplies from the 1950s? I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Almost 70 years old. Because Putin stole the money for the new stuff. Why do you think they shoot their own wounded? As they're withdrawing, they see a guy lying on the ground. They say, Tavarish, get up and walk with him. I can't. My feet were blown off. They pull out a pistol and kill him. That is true, by the way. They kill their own wounded. They do not care. They do not care about their own kind. But they have people that can launch missiles from Russia, and Ukraine is afraid to attack in Russia, although it does attack some missile systems, and they're killing civilians. They've got to be strangled. Putin can't win. He cannot be permitted to win. We have got to continue arming these people. And, you know, Biden's done a great job keeping NATO together. And he's done it through force of will and diplomacy. But a lot of these NATO and EU countries are unreliable. France and Germany are unreliable. They were on the phone with Putin this weekend begging him to get out of Ukraine. You think he had a good chuckle over that? France that invaded Russia under Napoleon in the 19th century, and Germany invaded Russia, I should say, in the 19th century. In Germany, the Nazis invaded Russia in the 1940s, and they're crawling to him. Shut up, France and Germany. Follow the U.S. lead and send them really heavy weapons to Ukraine. Period. Otherwise, Europe has no soul. Otherwise, Europe is just basically a theme park for great art and cathedrals and palaces. And I do enjoy going to Europe. But if you're going to be serious about anything, for Pete's sake, understand that Putin is a genocidal sadist. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling in, Dick. And I had to get that off my mind. There are other things to talk about. We're back in the saddle. Matt Flynn Direct. We're back same time, same place tomorrow. Lots to talk about. I'm signing off for today.